Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you don't have a clear curriculum for your classroom, it is so overwhelming to try to put that together yourself. Spending hours on Pinterest and Google, pulling worksheets and pulling pieces of curriculum together to make something that works for your classroom. That's why we created the Autism Helper curriculum and now offer Curriculum Access. Curriculum Access gets you access to all levels and all subjects of the highly differentiated, evidence-based Autism Helper curriculum. You can have students working on letter identification and working on parts of speech at the same time in our easy-to-use curriculum. We currently have hundreds of teachers using Curriculum Access from all over the world with consistently rave reviews. I want you to join that group of teachers. Now is the time to ask your administrators for Curriculum Access. We have an email template ready to go so you can ask them to set up a demo. Your administrators can jump on a live call with our team members to see everything that's included in the Autism Helper Curriculum Access. Next year, let's reduce the overwhelm. Let's start the year out with a path and a plan and resources to meet all the diverse needs of your students. Let's make next year the year of Curriculum Access. Head over to the show notes to learn more.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. I have a really great episode for you today. Today, I am talking about group contingencies with Caitlin Lindsley. Caitlin is a school-based BCBA and former special ed teacher, and she has been implementing these strategies both in her role as a consultant and as her role as a teacher. Caitlin introduces what group contingencies are and gives lots of ways that we can use this framework in different types of classrooms. This is an easy strategy to use. This is something, as she says, you can put on the dry erase board, quickly teach your students, but can really effectively help increase positive behaviors in the classroom. So lots to learn from this episode. I think you're going to be motivated to use these strategies in your classroom right away. Let's hear from Caitlin. Hi, Caitlin. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're talking about one of my secret favorite topics today that I feel like I just don't talk enough about. Today, Caitlin and I are going to talk about group contingencies.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm also passionate about it. I think I work in an urban public school system. And what I love about it is it's easy, it's quick, you can implement it. And I feel like that's all our teachers have time to do. And so I think that's also why it's one of my favorites to talk about.
I think you just sold everyone. I'm easy and quick. They're I'm in.
So, right, I can do that.
Yeah, done. So for those that this is new to, can you explain what a group contingency is?
Absolutely. So it starts off easy, right? It's a group, some sort of group. It can be small, it can be large. We can play with it a lot, which is great. And that group has a contingency to earn some sort of reward. And we use that through earning through good behavior and how can we harness that group and some of that internal competition that lots of our kids have and drives lots of our kids, and using that in order to shape behavior into seeing more positive classrooms or group settings.
So what types of settings have you seen group contingencies be successful in?
Yeah, one of my favorite things about this is that it can be really versatile in how you use it. I taught special education before I was a BCBA, and I used it in my autism and life skills classrooms. But I also just today worked with a fifth grade general education classroom that is implementing these. So it can be really used across the board because there are so many ways to personalize it to your setting and your group, which is what I really like about them.
So can you talk us through an example of what
a group contingency could look like? One example.
Yeah. You know, the most basic example that we tend to see everywhere is kind of the every man for himself. Like, everyone's eligible for it. And if you earn it, you earn it. So if you have 90% attendance for the quarter, you get a pizza party. Or if you turn in your math homework all week, you get an extra recess at the end of the day. And those are great. Those are useful. Those are helpful. But typically our kids who are using those are our kids who are already coming to school, who are already turning in homework. That tends to kind of reach the kids who are already doing well, which is why I like to look at some different group contingencies when you have more problem behaviors in a classroom.
Ooh, yes. And I agree. You're right. Those things, it's like, okay, we're catching kids that were already doing these things. So what are some varieties that can kind of support those kids that maybe are struggling?
Yeah. So one of the best ones that I see, you know, we have lots of research behind group contingencies, shows that it works in lots of settings. But what sells me is I see it, right? I'm in the school. I've seen it turn a classroom around. And those are kind of our interdependent group contingencies. And really, honestly, my favorite is called the good behavior game, which if you're a research nerd, like most BCBAs are. It's Saunders, Barish, and Wolf, if you want to go do some reading. But those are the ones where we break kids up into small groups, and we have them compete against each other for good behavior to earn those long-term, those good reinforcers that they're looking for.
So how would a teacher introduce the good behavior game? Let's say we're in your fifth grade classroom today. How could that teacher introduce this and what would it look like?
Absolutely. So I love being super upfront with the kids and telling them exactly what we're doing. Hey guys, we're starting this new game and it's all going to be about competition with everyone. And that usually excites some of your kids already, right? Like, they want to beat their friends. They want to be good at something. And really it just starts with laying down your rules. So thinking about what is the biggest barrier for you right now. And that might just be kids talking out. So we're going to pick raising your hand. That's the only thing we're going to focus on. Or you might pick three of your classroom rules, right? Transitioning, being prepared for class, and not talking. And you go through these with the kids. You want to make sure they're very well defined and making sure that they really understand, right? When I say raise hand, it means raise hand without talking. Very clear expectations. And then you just break your kids up into groups. And so when you're breaking your kids up into groups, you can look at it, you can split them in half. You can split them in three different groups. You can look at how they're sitting. Maybe they're already in pods, and tell them that they're going to compete. So by following the rules that you've set forth, they get to earn a point for their team. And then you can decide. It can be the team with the most points earns what they're working for. It can be everyone who has 15 or more points gets to earn their reinforcement. And so it's all about just being very specific and making sure that you're catching them in those moments. And it's easy. Throw it up on a dry erase board, laminate some paper, right? We want to make it easy and doable while the teacher is teaching, so the kids know what to do and can work together for it.
And you're right. So many kids, like, competition is a reinforcer. They want to win. They want to get the most. So right away, we're embedding that naturally occurring reinforcement in their environment.
Right. And I think that is something we're always striving for, is for our kids to be internally motivated, intrinsically motivated. And that just doesn't happen for lots of kids, but competition is a way to do that. And I think we also live in a world right now where social emotional learning is so important for our students, and learning how to work collaboratively, to work as part of a team, is really important. And so being able to use that along with shaping behavior can have really positive outcomes for some kids.
So let's talk about some potential obstacles to group contingencies. What are some pitfalls or missteps that you see happen, or what are some things you maybe avoid with certain types of kids when implementing this strategy?
Yeah, so it works really good for our kids who are black and white, right? We see this work really well for our kids with autism because they can see the rule, they understand the rule, they can follow it. Sometimes your kids who like to push the boundary and find your loopholes, they're going to find your loopholes really quick, just like in anything else. So you zig when they zag. But I always tell teachers when implementing this to be really cautious of the peer relationships in the groups that you have. So if you do have a kid who maybe is more likely to bully and a kid who is really sensitive, to not put those two in the same group, because the whole point of a group contingency is for kids to build each other up and be encouraging of each other. But with certain students, that can turn around the other way. And so we want to make sure that you as a teacher have a good understanding of peer relationships as you're forming those groups, and making sure that it really becomes positive and we don't turn anything into more of a negative light with those peer relationships.
Yes, that's a really good point. You could see that like quickly backfiring.
Right. And that's, you know, one thing I always tell people to be cautious of, but it also can be really helpful for kids who are struggling to make peer connections. And so kids who maybe struggle with social skills or don't have a lot of naturally occurring friends and can't figure out how to do that, but can follow rules, this is a really good way to get peer acceptance, right? And so if it's everyone needs to have their math book to get their point, and everyone in the hallway, the hope is no longer the teacher is like, Josh, where's your math book? Josh, cut your math book. Josh, I can't believe you forgot your math book again. But instead, in the hallway, their kids are like, hey, Josh, grab your math book before you shut your locker. We want our point today. And they go in and everyone has their math book and they get their point. They're going to turn around and be like, thanks, Josh, you helped us get that point. And the hope is that it's helping and really building up some of those peer relationships too.
Yes, definitely. So let's talk scheduling. How often should you be using, or can you be using, these types of strategies?
Yeah, you know, I tell teachers, and what I've done too, is do the very best you can. You know, some days you're going to be so on top of it and it's going to be the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And other days it's going to be noon and your kids are going to be asking you why you don't have any points yet. And I think it's, you know, having grace with yourself on these things, but our kids are really good at reminding us. So I also tell teachers to just kind of take a look at how often are you having problem behavior. Like if you can't get through one lesson without problem behavior, you should be giving points before, during, and after the lesson. But if your kids are making it pretty much until the afternoon, then maybe you're just giving points before they go to lunch. And so really just gauging on where your current class is, and whenever you're seeing problem behavior, back it up a little bit. And that's when you should be really doling out those points for those positive behaviors you're seeing.
Yes, that's great advice. So speaking of those points, let's talk backup reinforcers. What happens when a team wins or when you give points? What are the options there?
Yeah, I love to not have blanket rewards. I don't love that everyone goes out to recess, because if you have a kid in that group who doesn't love recess, right, it might sabotage it. And so I really like the idea of like a reinforcement menu. So when your team reaches the goal, or maybe your team had the most points, you, every member from your team, gets to pick off the menu. And on that menu, it might be free time. It might be talking with a friend. It might be picking your own seat for the day. But I also really encourage people to do escape-based things, like let your kids get out of stuff, because those are probably the kids you're concerned about. So my favorites sometimes are rip a worksheet in half or get out of an activity, you know, so they can skip that math lesson. But they get to skip it because they had such good behavior throughout the week.
Yeah, so we're like giving them a break in a positive way.
Absolutely, yep.
And I love that none of those examples are like iPad. Like we know some kids, that's their primary reinforcer, or
right,
you know, candy, things like that. But there's so many outside of the box reinforcers that we could, potential reinforcers that we could use, like you just mentioned.
Yeah, I say that we're so good at having like Sour Patch Kids and Takis and an iPad ready to go, which is so great for lots of kids. But we have to be creative for the kids who that doesn't motivate. And so by letting them have a menu, you get to run the same system in your whole classroom, but each kid might be motivated by something different. And that's where you really get to differentiate it and make sure all of your kids are motivated for that.
Yes. Embedding the choice, always choice.
I love, yep, love built-in choice.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I feel like we talk about this forever, but
I know.
So I think this is especially for people that haven't used group contingencies before. It can really be a game changer. And I love how you explained how to implement it, all the different settings that it can go in, and really kind of some ways to implement it effectively.
For sure. Yeah. And the hope is you're not laminating anything for 6 hours to do this,
yes,
right? You write it on the dry erase board, you talk to your kids about it, and you run with it. And like anything else, you just adjust it as you go, because as teachers, we're really good at that. We're really good at being flexible and adjusting in the moment. And this gives you grace to do that in the classroom.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Caitlin. Yeah, where can people go to learn more from you?
Yeah, you can follow me. I have lots of stuff on Teachers Pay Teachers at Rubix, R-U-B-I-X, Behavior, and the same handle on Instagram.
Great. We will share those in the show notes. Thanks so much again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.